Chapter 29, Duty of the Publishing House to the Church.
While the church has a responsibility to the publishing house, so also has the publishing house to the church. Each is to uphold the other. Those in positions of responsibility in the publishing houses should not allow themselves to be so pressed with work that they have no time for maintaining the spiritual interest. When this interest is kept alive in the publishing house, it will exert a powerful influence in the church. And when it is kept alive in the church, it will exert a powerful influence in the publishing house. God's blessing will rest on the work when it is so conducted that souls are won to Christ. All the workers in the publishing house who profess the name of Christ should be workers in the church. It is essential to their own spiritual life that they improve every means of grace. They will obtain strength not by standing as spectators, but by becoming workers. Everyone should be enlisted in some line of regular, systematic labor in connection with the church. All should realize that, as Christians, this is their duty. By their baptismal vow, they stand pledged to do all in their power to build up the Church of Christ. Show them that love and loyalty to their Redeemer, loyalty to the standard of true manhood and womanhood, loyalty to the institution with which they are connected, demands this. They cannot be faithful servants of Christ. They cannot be men and women of real integrity. They cannot be acceptable workers in God's institution while neglecting these duties. The managers of the institution in its various departments should have a special care that the youth form right habits in these lines. When the meetings of the church are neglected or duties connected with its work are left undone, let the cause be ascertained. By kind, tactful effort, endeavor to arouse the careless and to revive a waning interest. None should allow their own work to excuse neglect of the Lord's sacred service. Much better might they lay aside the work which concerns themselves than neglect their duty to God. To brethren entrusted with responsibilities in the publishing houses, I urge upon you the importance of attending our annual meetings, not merely the business meetings, but the meetings that will be for your spiritual enlightenment. You do not realize the necessity of having a close connection with heaven. Without this connection, not one of you is safe. Not one is qualified to do God's work acceptably. In this work, more than in any secular business, success is proportioned to the spirit of consecration and self-sacrifice with which the work is done. Those who bear responsibility as managers in the work need to place themselves where they can be deeply impressed by the Spirit of God. You should have as much greater anxiety than do others to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and a knowledge of God and Christ, as your position of trust is more responsible than that of the common worker. Natural and acquired endowments are all gifts of God and need to be constantly held under the control of His Spirit, of His divine sanctifying power. You need to feel most deeply your lack of experience in this work and put forth earnest endeavor to acquire needed knowledge and wisdom that you may use every faculty of body and mind in such a way as to glorify God. A new heart also will I give you. Christ must dwell in your hearts as the blood is in your body and circulate there as a vitalizing power. On this subject, we cannot be too urgent. While truth must be our panoply, our convictions need to be strengthened by its living sympathies that characterize the life of Christ. If the truth, living truth, is not exemplified in the character, no man can stand. There is only one power that can either make us steadfast or keep us so. the grace of God. In truth, he who confides in aught else is already tottering, ready to fall. The Lord desires you to rely on him. Make the most of every opportunity to come to the light. If you remain apart from the holy influences that come from God, how can you discern spiritual things? God calls upon us to make use of every opportunity for securing a preparation for his work. He expects you to put all your energies into its performance and to keep your hearts alive to its sacredness and its fearful responsibilities. God's eye is upon you. It is not safe for any one of you to bring into his presence a marred sacrifice, a sacrifice that costs neither study nor prayer. Such an offering he cannot accept. I entreat you to awake and to seek God for yourselves. While Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, cry most earnestly unto him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David," and you will receive sight. Through the grace of God, you will receive that which will be more valuable to you than gold or silver or precious stones. If there is ever one time above another when men need to preserve their connection with God, it is when they are called to bear special responsibility. It is not safe for us, when going into battle, to cast away our weapons. It is then that we need to be equipped with the whole armor of God. Every piece is essential. Never entertain the thought that you can be Christians and yet withdraw within yourselves. Each one is a part of the great web of humanity, and the nature and quality of your experience will be largely determined by the experiences of those with whom you associate. Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." See Matthew 18, verse 20. Then let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Make the social meetings of the church as interesting as possible. Let everyone present feel that he has a duty to perform in the meeting. Cooperate with the heavenly angels who are trying to make a right impression on every worker.